Okay, so I don't know about you guys, but whenever I in Shir or even in learning, I got to the sugyas of Rov, a Chazaka, a Safek, I would just tune out. Mamas just tune out because it's impossible. And these are one of the sugyas that, Rosh Hashiva knows very well, and I don't know if the expectation, but in their mind, things are very simple, and they could start quoting sugyas from all over the place, all over Shas and Mark Subas and Nida. And you're lost. Each application, mikveh missing water, and then Pesach Pasuach, and then you're all over the place, and you're lost. That was me. Maybe that's not you. I was always tune out. So the best thing to do when coming to these sugyas, I found, is just stay very local. Just get the basic yedios, and get what you can, and a basic hakira and some ideas. And when you go weiter, you understand it much better. The other sugyas as they come up, but to try to learn every case of Rova, Safek, Chazaka, it's impossible. Mamish impossible. That's the key. And it's a key in terms of many challenging sugyas. When it comes to Tumah Vatara and Kudshim and Zoram, these things come up. And typically we just tune out for these sugyas. So the idea is just to try to get basics. Whatever you come across the sugya, get the basics and then move weiter. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, just in general, people learning through Shas, they're asking me some recommendations how they get through Shas. And one of the, I think the best etzah I get, it's an etzah from the Gemara. Gemara says sometimes you have to just be able to go weiter. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah without fully understanding everything. If you get stuck in one piece and looking in be'omek, you're not going to cover any ground. But when you see so much bakiyas all over the place, that actually enhances your understanding of things. So this is going to be just a very, very basic shir in Rov. And there's a lot more to do, but just walk away with some basic ideas, and then hopefully it will prepare you to learn weiter these types of figures as they come up. So the Gemara we saw in Chulin, Daf Gimel Beis, this mosquito really likes me today. So there, the Gemara in Chulin tells us there's this concept of Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchen Heim, that we assume that most people who are going to engage in Shechita are Mumchen, they are knowledgeable, and we could trust. And we discussed yesterday the Beis Halevi, if that's based on Emanus, it's based on general Chazaka, but we trust that it's a good Shechita. So the question is, do we paskin this way? So the Gemara had two mandamrim, whether we hold this way or not. And it seemed pretty clear from the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis that we do paskin this way. That the Gemara had been talking about, if you see a person who did Shechita, and if you don't know any better, so then you could assume Ro Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita, Mumchen Heim, and that's how we paskin. Very clear Gemara. That's how the Rambam paskins, that's how the Rif, that's how everyone paskins. There is one Gemara in Daf Tes which says we don't hold that way, which sounds like we don't hold the Rov. And whenever there's a Safek by Shechita, we go L'chumra. And that's what the Gemara says, that there's this idea that Behema, Bechayea, Becheskas, Iser, Omedes, Ad Shiodelecha, Bema, Nishchata. An animal, we assume it's Cheskas, Iser, until you prove to us that was a good Shechita. What do you mean, prove to us? Well, you have to prove anything. Don't we say that Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchen Heim? We can rely on Rov. So the Rif answers, of course we paskin like Rov. That Gemara on Daf Tes is that he makes no Kimta, the situation of the Reisa and the Sakin. There was a certain Pagam in the Sakin, there's a Reisa, and that broke the general Rov idea. But aside from that case, whenever there's a just typical case, we could assume Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita are Mumchen, and all Basar, we could assume is kosher. That's the klal. Now, that Gemara could be dealt with other ways. Rambam doesn't seem to make such an okimta like the Rif, but that's not for now. We're assuming there's a concept of Rov. So now there's a very interesting machlokas in whenever there's Rov in different applications. When you assume Rov, how much investigation do you have to do? So you guys saw the Rashi on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi says, what's Rashi's din? What does he say about Rov? You don't have to check. Since they're Mumchen Hein, Hilkach Labai Lemibdeche, you don't have to check. Rov tells you, you can rely on the Basar, you can rely on the Shochet, and you could eat the meat. Completely kosher. No need to check. And that is the opinion of the Baal Mor. Now, the reason why I told you to look at the Ran, by the way, first, because the Ran is much easier. Many times I was on the same, I'm not sure how you guys felt in this also, but when when we come to learning, we get older, we learn, there's a whole Seder, you learn Tanakh and Mishnayos and Gemara, and there's a whole Seder HaDevarim. So we feel like we should go on that same Seder HaDevarim. So, we should learn all of Tanakh first before you even learn Mishnayos. Now we know it doesn't work that way anymore. We should learn all Mishnayos before we learn Gemara. It doesn't work that way. We should learn all Gemara before we learn Rashi Tosfos. It doesn't work that way. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have access to other Svarim, and they make things easier for us. So I'm not saying to use the Aruch Mesifta right now at your age. But the Ran is a wonderful Rishon, and if you could summarize things in a very easy way, he's much easier to read than the Baal Mor and the Mechames Hashem. These are the two of the hardest Rishonim to learn. The Baal Mor, the Mechames Hashem, very hard. So why not use the Ran to help assist you in getting a very easy upshot, and then go back to the Ramban and Baal Mor to understand what they're saying. Now you can go in order, the Baal Mor and the Ramban, and then see, and there's an end of a Melis, no question about that. But to me, I feel like we have a lot to catch up, guys. And if we spend a lot of time doing the Ramban and the Baal Mor, we're going to be very, very behind. And so it's okay to cut corners. I don't even think they're cutting corners. I know I'm going these tangents today, but many Gedolim learned using the Beis Yosef, the Torah Beis Yosef, which gave you all the raid and put everything together. As opposed to you having to look up every Rabbeinu Yeruchim, every say Baal Itter, you're not going to get anywhere. So the Beis Yosef organizes things in a very nice way for you, and here it is for you. Don't run away. Don't hide. It was a very popular sefer for a reason. So take advantage of these things. So that's why I brought, even though the Ran just summarized the Baal Mor and the Mechames Hashem, it's a very, very important inyan. Recently someone told me that that they were very against using the Masifta, and Rabbi Tursky from YU says, why are you so against it? He says, because a Melis. He says, let me ask you a question. If you're driving the car and a guy has a map, you're lost. Are you going to use the map or not use the map? Well, you use the map. So sometimes there's Svarim that are a map for you to help you guide you the right way. Otherwise, you're going to be lost in this Yam Shel Shlomo of Svarim that we have here. So take advantage. So the same thing with Rov, by the way. All these sugyas. Just there are easy ways that Svarim put things together to make it very clear to you. So anyways, we have a machlokas here. When it comes to Rov, do you have to be bodek or not? So the Rashi says, Hilchach lo tzarech lemivtike. There's no need to check. Rov tells you you could completely rely on the Rov, and the Baal Mor quotes some opinions that says, no, you should have to check. You should still check after the guy to make sure he's a kosher individual, and he says that's incorrect. According to the Gemara, we assume lo by bedika. It's completely reliable. That's how we pass him with the Rov. The Ramban, on the other hand, what does Ramban say, guys? I even gave you the Ran to look at. The Ran should have summarized. What does the Ramban say?
Check.
What? You should check. Okay, you should check. Now, he doesn't say to check in every instance. He says, if it's a mir hamatsui, then you should check. And if it's not a mir hamatsui, so then you should not check. So, what's his machlok is whether or not one should have to check or not have to check. So, the way the Ramban himself, it's very clear for the Ramban. Ramban, the very first line, he also actually has a very similar piece in the Chidushim. I just told you, look at the Mechames Hashem. He says, Shezeh harov eino kivadai. It's not vadai. Da'ika chazaka kinegdo. And therefore, since it's after levarer, you can't rely on the rov. So what's the machlokis here? So Rav Soloveitchik explains, as many, many others, whenever it comes to rov, and we always say, we paskin holchanach harov, does that mean that's mamish kivadai? It's mamish mevarer the din, it's mamish that's what is, and we assume there's no suffix at all? In which case, the Rashi and the Ramban Mor say there's no need to check afterwards. Rov means vadai? Or no, like Ramban says, that there's still a level of suffix. We have to know how to act sometimes. We know we have to have, it's called hanhaga. So we have to know what to do. So sometimes our hands are tied, and the Torah says, follow the rov. But there's still a level of suffix here. So if you could figure out how to undo the suffix, so that you should check. So Ramban says that at least this particular rov is not kivadai. And therefore, you should have to check. It's still a suffix. Even though it's rov, it's still a suffix, and you have to check. So that's the machlokas. That's how everyone explains. Now, it's possible that different rovs are understood differently. It doesn't mean because you understand rov in one case is kevadai, every rov is kevadai. And just because you say one rov still has a suffix, every rov isn't suffix. Each application could be different. But that's the general machlokas, whether rov is kevadai or rov is not kevadai. So that's the same chakir that's found in Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan says the same idea in Kovitz Biurim and Shev Shmaitza Os Dalad. He explains, there's a concept that appears in the Shas, that we always follow rov, and it's rov and chazaka, ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. That's his understanding. That's the Gemara. So how does that work exactly? So I'm looking for the line here. He says as follows. Why is Rov Bidal Chazaka? The Hodaz Linan Basar Chazaka Vandai Ain Atamishim Da Chazaka Mivareres Hamaisa. Chazaka doesn't tell me the reality, what's true. And he goes on to bring riyas for this. I don't want to get caught up in those riyas. It's just exerts a cause that we follow the chazaka. We have to know how to act. But Rov, on the other hand, Rov is mevar the maisa, and therefore a mevar birur is better than a simple hanhaga. The Rov tells you more what's going on, and therefore beats a chazak, which tells you simply how to act, but not what actually is going on. And that's why he says, actually, it's very interesting that when it comes to, let's say there's a rove, and if you follow the rove, it's going to be tarti desasi. There's going to be contradiction of how you act. It's going to be some internal contradiction. So then you can't follow rove. Why not? Rove means that's the emes. It's the reality. It's mevar the maisa. Tarti desasi is against reality. So when you're following rove, they're going on the emes dika pshat. So they can't have tarti desatri, because that tells you that can't be. You can't have two things that are contradictory, and therefore, rove doesn't work. You can't apply it when it's tarti desatri. But chazaka, which is not telling what's reality. We can't figure out what's the emes, but just tells you how to act. So even though that acting might be tarti desatri, it doesn't make a difference, because chazaka doesn't tell me what's the emes. It's not mivar the maisa, just tells me how to be nohig. And even though sometimes it means tarti desatri, that doesn't impact the strength of the chazaka. So Rav Chanan assumes that rov is working more like vadai and be mevarer the maisa. So now there's a interesting placey on the inyan of just another application, just seeing how this idea comes through about the concept of a basar and shinis alim min ha'ayin, meat that was not watched. And meat that was not watched is a iser brought down in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadihei. And there's a whole big discussion what the reason is. It's because maybe the guy switched it with a treif or a nevela, or maybe a raven came and switched it, which is a very unlikely scenario. So he explains that whether we're concerned of a raven coming, a bird coming to take the meat away, some are choshesh that that could happen, and others are not choshesh that could happen. That's the machlokas that appears about understanding basar shenis alim min ha'ayin, whether we're really choshesh of some bird taking it. So what he explains is that this machlokas is dependent on the understanding of this concept of rov. He says, im zeu vadai, if you assume rov is mamish vadai, v'ein bo shir safek klal, there's no safek at all. It's mamish vadai, like the Balmor and like Rashi, that there's no need to check. So then, there's no idea, you shouldn't be concerned of this suffix orev coming to, it's a situation if you have 9 out of 10 stores of kosher meat. And you find one meat lying there, so we assume it came from a kosher store, that's rof. But shouldn't you say, well, there's a 10% chance it came from the treif store. And there's another percent chance that a raven came and switched around the meats. So he says, if you assume rof is kevadai, you don't have to take into consideration any of the other sfeikas. And therefore, we're not concerned of this orif. But if you assume that, if you do take into consideration this idea that the orif may have taken it, you have to assume, he quotes a Rush in Bab Metzia, Takva Kohen Sugya, Bab Metzia Da'avav Amid Beis. The Rush says, even though the Gemara there is talking about how, you're counting from Isa Behema, and one of the ones that counted jumped back into the pen, and you can't recount it, so we assume it came from Rove. The Rush says, even though it's Rove, we still have a level of suffix. There's still a suffix even when there's Rove. Meaning, the Rush assumes Rove is not Kavadai. Rove doesn't tell you what happened. Rove just tells me that how to act, but there still is a level of suffix. So according to the Rush, so then there would be still a concern of any other suffix that you could find. This Oriv taking the meat would still be of consideration. So he connects, as he says, in the end, this concept of Rove, Kevada is really a machlokas in the Amoraim, a very interesting machlokas. He says it connects to a sugya in Maseches Yuma, whether or not iholchen bi pikuach nefesh acha harov, or not. So let's say there's a situation where a building collapsed, and you know a person's inside the building, but you don't know if this person is a Yid or not. If it's a non-Jew, so you don't have to go save him in the case that he's alive still. But if it's a Yid, then you vow to have to, if you know he's dead, then you have to wait till after Shabbos to unbury him. But if you don't know, or he's stuck there, so you're allowed to go ahead for pikuach nefesh. So it depends if there's rov or not rov. So what does that mean in hochin bikuach nefesh achar rov or not? So Rav then, the Gemara says, if the rov is ovdei kochavim, so then you're not mechal Shabbos. Right, a person gets trapped in a collapsed building. So he says, since we live in a community where it's mostly non-Jews here, you're living in, who knows, or someplace in the Midwest, in Alabama, where there are no Jews, or maybe a few, so you could assume it's a non-Jew, and you say, don't save. Hochin b'mamon achar, hochin b'pikuach nefesh achar rov. So why not? Why not assume the 1% chance that maybe it's a Jew? So says the Crazy Placey, because Rav assumes Rov is Kevadai. And since Rov of people in that city in Alabama are non-Jews, you ignore any other Sveikos. Rov is Mamish Mivar the Maisa, and even though there's a 1% chance, you could ignore it. But Shmuel says, Ein Holchen v'pikuach nefesh acharov. It's Chil Shabbos. The Rov people here are non-Jews. The likelihood, the 99% chance that is a non-Jew. So I have to be Michal Shabbos on the 1% chance that there's a Jew there? Elamai, yes, because he holds Rov is simply a Hanhaga. But it's not telling you what actually happened. It's not telling you what the truth is. It's not Mevar the Maisa. And so still, since it's some level of Safek that it might be a Jew, and we paskin Safek, Pikuach Nefesh, is Docha Shabbos? So he says, therefore, Shmuel says, one would have to go ahead and take apart that building and find out what type of person is buried below, where the Jew or not Jew, and to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh, being Docha Shabbos. Because again, just to be clear, that Shmuel says, even though Rov here are non-Jews, we still are able to acknowledge the percentage of, a small percentage, it might be a Jew, and we say, Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. So this machlokes, so we find the machlokes between Rashi, the Baal Mor, versus the Ramban, is a machlokes, according to the Crazy Place, at least, between Rav and Shmuel, and the idea of Holchen Pikuach Nefesh, Acharov, or not. Everyone's good? Clear? Okay. So now, this inyan of the need to do a bedika, of being bodek, and by the case of Rov, the Ramban writes at the end, everyone get through the Ramban. You saw that interesting Agarata, by the way, quoted from Adam Rishon. It's interesting Agarata. He says, it's not common for the Ramban to quote Agarata in Halacha, but he says that, based on the Medrash Tanchuma, that Adam Rishon, that you weren't able to have any stand by your Nisayon. They point out in the if you get to the Nakuda, what Adam Rishon did wrong, it was his lack of patience. He didn't wait. He ate from the Eitz Hadas too early. Had he waited a few moments until Shabbos, the sun set, it would have been Shabbos. So he would have been allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He just jumped the gun. He lacked the patience. That's the inyan of Adam Rishon, they explain in Chava. And there's a lot to say about that. So he goes on this medrash and explains here that what does that mean? Because you couldn't wait just for a few moments afil sha'achas, but your banecha, your children, mishmarin kol mitzvah shenitnu lehem. But your children, your grandchildren, keep the mitzvahs. For omdim mehem, and they mekayim them. Echad mehem omed v'noteh ma'adir menachesh. One guy's planting and pruning and fixing his property, and he's watering it. He sees his fruits are starting to grow and blossom, and then it's the first fruits. So what does he do? He holds back his hand. He doesn't taste them. He has bikurim. There's truma. There's ma'isa. There's arla. All these things waiting. You can't just take the fruit right off the tree. There's so many things you have to do first. And your children are commanded, ezet tochlu, ezet lo tochlu. This you could eat, this you can't eat. And they do a shechita, and then they skin the animal, they wash the animal, they check the lungs, they do a malicha, all these things, they have patience. That's the side point, the little tangent he goes off on. And then he says, bevadai shezeh badika, even though it's a medjish, which is talking, from the Torah's perspective of Adam versus his banim, don't get confused. Don't think it's a mitzvah deraisa to do bedika. It's a bedika midivrehem. It goes on to prove why that is furthermore. So even the Ramban acknowledges that the requirement to do bedikah is only midirabanan, but midiraisa, Rove tells us that we should follow. Rove might be kivada. So there's an interesting, a fascinating Meshech Chachma. I apologize, it's not in the Meshech Chachmas here in the back, in the Beis Medrash. So I'll share with you here on my computer. The Bar-Ilan has it. Other editions do have it. It's not made up. It's going on the pasuk by Tefillin Miyam Yamima, and the Mechilta tells us that Miyam Yamima means Magid the Adam Tzarech Livdok Es Tefillin La'Acher Yud Beis Chodesh. That after 12 months, after every year, a person should have a Tefillin check. Now we don't pasuk in this way, but it is a medrash. This idea of being bodik, that checking, even though we should rely on the Chazaka, right? Chazaka the Tefillin were good. Nothing has changed. So why do you have to check it? So he quotes a Mishkas Yaakov here that says, from here we have a proof that Bedika Sareya, checking the lungs, when there's a Mid Hamatsui, it's a Deraisa. So while the Ramban felt that even when it's a Mid Hamatsui, you have to check it, that was only a Din Derabanan. The Shus Yaakov argues in the Ramban that says it's a Deraisa based on the Mechilta on this Pasuk, that you have to check Tefillin every single year, once a year. So too, whenever there's a mira matzoi, when something is common, something happens a certain level of frequency, just like the lungs, the punctured lungs is something that's decently frequent. So therefore, you have to check it midaraisa. Now, how to define mira matzoi? What that shear is, there's a whole range, 10%, 7%, whatever that shear is, that whatever is a mira matzoi. But whenever there is a mira matzoi, when the Ramban says to check, Yeshua Yaakov says that's a kim deraisa. So now Meshech Chachma has his own chiddush. He says as follows. He goes off on a little bit of a tangent. And the question Tosfos asks about the inyan of Loig L'Rosh. Just bear with me, and we're going to bring it back to our sugya. We know there's a kanta of Loig L'Rosh that a Gemara tells us that you can't walk into a base kfaros wearing a tittus out. It's making fun that I could do mitzvahs and the mace can't do mitzvahs. So Tosfos asks the question about tachrichim that were made of shatnez. How could you bury a mace if it's made of shatnez? It's a Loig L'Rosh. Right, making fun that we don't wear shatnez because we keep mitzvahs, and you can wear shatnez because you don't keep mitzvahs. So the Meshech Chachma is mechadesh that there's a difference between ases and los ases. He says when it comes to a los ase, the ikar is that a person shouldn't do something. Now, if a person did something a los ase against his will, so what's the halacha? Oh, nesrach mana patre, he's pater. We view that as if he didn't do the maisa. Even though in the maisa he did an action, but if he was forced into eating treif, he was forced into eating nevela, then we say he's pater. Right? It's lanara losas adavar. The pasuk tells me it's considered lonas adavar, nothing was done. There was no maisa. But to say the opposite, to say that a person, let's say, wanted to eat matzah, but because of an onus he wasn't able to, onus can't create a maisa. Onus can turn a maisa into nothing, it could turn into a losa, into a non-action, but it can't be as if you did the actual maisa. So there's actually an interesting piece, he doesn't address this obviously, but Rav Yosef Engel and Asim Deraisa, one of the, I forget which one it is, maybe Stalit or Hay, he talks about ones by mitzvahs aseh, how that works exactly. When a person is pater from a aseh, do we view that as if he's a pater, as if he was mekayim the mitzvah? Or he's just off the hook, but there's still outstanding chiyuv. He doesn't have to do, but it still exists. So the interesting bunch of rais he brings in that piece. But what the Meshech Chachma says is, onus cannot turn your ma'aseh mitzvah into a mitzvah. If you didn't do a ma'aseh mitzvah, it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah. Only by lo sasei can onus exempt a person. So that's the chiluk he makes. And now he brings it back to the mace as well. When it comes to the mace, so then putting the shatnez in on the mace, he's not doing anything. It's onus. He didn't decide to put the shatnez on. That's how he was buried. So that's onus. No greater onus than that. So he's parted from the los aseh. There's no making fun. When it comes to the tzitzis, so he's onus. He can't wear the tzitzis, but it doesn't help him. Onus doesn't give a person the mitzvah aseh. So when I'm wearing tzitzis in the base kvaros, and he's seeing that, it's not fair. Ah, he's onus, he's pater, but the onus can't allow him to perform a mitzvah aseh, and therefore the Loig L'Rosh applies to mitzvah aseh, but doesn't apply to mitzvos los aseh. So that's the Meshech Chachma's chiddush. He just says the din, he doesn't say, but l'chor is based on the source of onus rachmana patre is based on lanara los aseh davar. That's by a lav. Los, a nothing, with onus can make your action into a non-action. But we have no source that an onus could turn a non-action into an action. It doesn't exist. He doesn't explain this, though. That's why I assume what it's based on. So now he brings us back to our case of the Chiyah Bedika. He says, when it comes to a mitzvah asay like tefillin, so there he acknowledges there's a chiyuv to check. Because I was ones, I relied on the rov, I relied on the chazaka that my tefillin was good. But let's say it wasn't good. Let's say there's a psul in the tefillin. So your ones can't give you a mitzvah tefillin. An ones cannot give you a mitzvah. So that's why you have to check when it comes to mitzvah asay. There is a chiyuv bedika by mitzvah asay. But by a los asay, eating an animal that a trefa, so I have no obligation. I have to rely on rov. Let's say lemaisa is to trefa. Not a problem. I relied on rov. I follow the Torah's tells me to follow rov. I was a trefa. That's onus. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The fact that this one happened to be a trefa among the 5,000 animals, that call I'm onus. And when it comes to onus, I'm pater legamre, and there's no chiv to have to check when it comes to los asay. Only where there's a mitzvah asay, like tefillin, where if I'm onus doesn't give me a mitzvah that I don't have, then you have to be bodek, even midaraisa. That's the chiddush of the Neshech Chachma. So just to review these concepts, the two basic ideas we've said today. One is the machlokus and how rov works. Does rov work as mevar the maisa, like the Rav Chanan wanted to say, and that's why it beats out a chazaka? Or is rov just telling me how to be nohig, but there is still some level of suffix. That was one chakira, and we brought a few different applications. And number two is, when there is a chiv, those who require a bedika, even b'makom rov, is that derabanan a deraisa. Ramban says it's a mitzvah derabanan only, a chiv derabanan, while the Mishnah Yaakov that fault, it was a mitzvah chiv deraisa, and the Meshech Chachma is mechalik between mitzvah asay, mitzvah lo sase. But mitzvah lo sase, you don't have to check, because onus, you can rely on that, you follow the rov, there's no chiv to check on the deraisa level. But by mitzvah asay, where onus doesn't give you the mitzvah, so then one would have to be chayev to be bodek, even on a level of a deraisa.